Welcome to Have Roots, We'll Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin Stoltari, and I am a genealogist and a passionate traveler. Over the last year, we've been looking at Les Filles du Roi, the King's Daughters, and we're exploring each and every one of them. Rest assured, we will be doing all of them eventually. Right now, we're going to be featuring number 100. It's almost like I want to have the balloons. I can't believe we've done 100. So with that being said, we're going to get started. But before I proceed, want to make sure that I ask you to subscribe or press on the notifications on there if this is something you'd like to, you know, be kept up to speed on. Also want to let you know, Les Filles du Roi, I have on my website, haverootswilltravel.com, I have links to each and every one of the previous 99 that I have done. So have a look at that if you want to catch up. And with that, let's get started. Those of you who are regular viewers know that I have produced a video called Les Filles du Roi, the Program 2.0. Have a look at that to give you the insights and all that you need to know about what the girls went through in order to get to New France. It's on the playlist and also on my website as well. Episode number 100, Marguerite Laverdue. And she is a viewer request. I do not have her in my files, so this was a brand new one to explore. Let's get started and get to know Marguerite. So Marguerite was born in 1646 in Paris, France. Her parents were Martin Laverdue and Jacqueline Leliot. She was born in the 3rd arrondissement of Paris. Those are regular viewers know that Paris has 20 arrondissements. They're called, everything is laid out in a circle. And her particular area is number 3. So you can see it on the map. 1, 2, 3, there she is. It's also known as Temple, and it's situated on the right bank of the River Seine. It's actually the smallest in area after the 2nd arrondissement. And it is, this arrondissement contains the area called Le Marais, which is more of the medieval district. So it's kind of one of the, you know, oldest parts, and the oldest surviving private house of Paris, built in 1407, is found in the 3rd arrondissement. It's at 52 Rue de Montmorency, in case you want to know. And I want to talk to you about her church, Saint-Nicolas-des-Champs, which was built in the 15th century. It's located at 254 Rue Saint-Martin. The current church, this one, actually was built between 1420 and 1480, and was kind of enlarged in the 16th and 17th centuries, but essentially is the church where Marguerite would have been baptized. So Marguerite's parents, as far as we know, did not pass away. She chose to become a fille du roi, and she embarked on her journey on the ship called Le Saint-Jean-Baptiste de Dieppe. She arrived in New France fairly early, June 18, 1665. She brought with her a dowry worth about 200 pounds. So Marie Crépeau was born in 1637 in a place called Saint-Germain-de-Princé. And it is the region from Le Pays de la Loire, and he is from the department, Le Vendée. His parents were Jean Crépeau and Suzanne Fourmelot. This is a farming community. This is the church where he would have been baptized, which dates from the 12th and 13th century. And let's get to know, you know, Maris. Where did he actually arrived in New France just a year before? 1664. So let's see when they got married. So there is no marriage record like I normally show you. They were married on Île d'Orléans, and what is remarkable about this couple is that Jean Talon himself signed the contract, and the governor as well. So I don't know the particulars, maybe they were just in town, but they are, apparently they signed it as well. So we know that the contract was definitely viewed and notarized. October 12, 1665, they are wed. So the family settled on Île d'Orléans, and regular viewers know that Île d'Orléans, we come back to this place so many times. Île d'Orléans is located in the St. Lawrence River. about 3 miles east of downtown Quebec City. The island was actually one of the very first parts of the province to be colonized by the French, and a large percentage of French Canadians can trace their ancestry to the early residents of this island. The island has been described as the microcosm of traditional Quebec and as the birthplace of Francophones in North America. Officials later changed the name to Île d'Orléans in honor of the second son of King Francis, who was Henri, the Duke of Orléans. The island was also known as Grande Île, Sainte-Marie, Saint-Laurent for certain periods in the 17th and 18th centuries. And I tell you this only in case you are researching and you stumble across the names and it doesn't say Île d'Orléans. Remember that little fact. Early French settlers were attracted to the island because of its fertile soil. In 1661, the first parish of Saint-Famille was founded, followed by another four parishes in 1679 through 1680. By 1685, there were about 1,200 people living on the island. You can see on the map here, how close on the upper left, how close it is to Quebec City. And I also wanted to show you the different sectors of Saint-Famille, Saint-Pierre, Saint-Laurent, Saint-Jean, Saint-François. So these, they have six different areas. So it's important for you when you're doing family research to check which part of the island the family lived on. I know it's an island, but they have their records and their churches and all of that. So check that out. The other two pictures that I have were given to me by a family friend who visited the island. You can see the lushness. You can see the kind of return to yesteryear. This is a cheese making place. Just to let you all know, my dream next year is to go and visit Île d'Orléans. So I'm planning it as we speak, and I will definitely be filming and doing all that YouTubing when I'm there. Now, just to let you know, they were among the early residents because the 1667 census finds them. Maurice Crespo, 29. Marguerite Laverdue, sa femme, 22. They have Anne, who is 7 months old. One type de bétail, which is a goat. And they have 9 arpents à valeur. So it's about 5 to 6 acres. All right, so let's see how they grow. So they would grow. Go on to have 9 children. Let's have a look at Anne, who married Nicolas Bergeron and had 8 children, 4 who survived before her untimely death at 36. Marguerite married Georges Plante and had 11 children, 10 of whom made it. Joseph died in infancy. Maurice married Marie-Odette de Pointe, had 12 children, 11 of whom made it. Marie-Madeleine married Pierre Dufresne and had 9 children, all of whom made it. Pierre married twice but did not have any children. Françoise died in infancy. Robert married Marie-Madeleine Lemelin and had 11 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Geneviève married first Jean Pichet and had 1 child, and who survived. And then she married Charles Pouliot and had 9 children, 7 of whom made it to adulthood. Now you can see the 1681 census that I posted up here. Maurice Crepeau, 45, Marguerite Verdue, sa femme, 35. And so enfant is Anne, Marguerite, Joseph, Maurice, Madeleine, Pierre. They have 12 bétacornes, 3 goats by now, and now they have 15 arpents à valeur. So they're growing their family and their land. Maurice would die at 66. They would have been married 38 years by then. He died September 3rd, 1704. Marguerite would follow him, I kid you not, 23 years later, dying at an incredible age of 87. In her death record, it states that she died suddenly after several years of enfance, which means childhood. I interpret this to mean she had dementia or Alzheimer's. They are both buried at the Cimetière de Saint-Laurent on the island of Orleans. And as a beautiful final tribute, they are listed on that beautiful monument on the island that pays homage to the founding families. Maurice Crepeau married to Marguerite Laverdière, Saint-Pierre, 1662. This is possibly an indication that he was in Quebec City or at Île d'Orléans by 1662. So further research needs to go into that. So Marguerite and Maurice were remarkable in so many ways because they lived this life and really were among the founding families of Île d'Orléans. They had an incredible run in terms of longevity, in terms of their marriage. As of 1729, they would have an astonishing 159 descendants, of which my viewer is one. And after all these years, I would love to find out who else, because I don't have anybody else in my little circle of founding families. Can't wait to see who is a descendant of this remarkable couple who just, you know, they lived a wonderful life and had children. And I believe that it was a love story. So with that, we thank them for their perseverance, their stamina, and their contributions. We bless them and we thank them. Until the next time on episode number 101, we will say au revoir.